because once we're done with Thanksgiving, this Sunday, next Sunday, we're going to start some Christmas messages up until the end of December. So if April showers bring May flowers, then what do May flowers bring? Ah, who said it? Pilgrims. All right. So why do pilgrims' pants fall down? Why do pilgrims' pants fall down? Because they wear the buckle on their hats. Now, David is not here this morning. Anybody else here who teaches math? Anybody, any math teachers here? Do we have any? No, huh? Okay, well, at any rate, the question goes, what do you get if you divide the circumference of a pumpkin by its diameter? You get pumpkin pie. That's right. Hallelujah. Okay, so Thanksgiving is a tradition. As a matter of fact, in reality, it's probably it's an American holiday, Thanksgiving. Really, even though it might be celebrated in other countries, it's certainly an American holiday because it started right here in America at the very beginning. But there's a tradition of this American holiday that all families around the United States eat at the same time. Does anybody know what time that is? We all eat at the same time. It's called halftime. Isn't that true? There was a lady who was looking for frozen turkeys at Stop and Shop, and she couldn't find one big enough for her family. And so she asked Anthony when she was there, "Do these turkeys get any bigger?" And he looked at her and said, "Sorry, lady, these turkeys are dead." Okay, I have a few more, but we'll just end maybe. Let me end with this one because I have a poem, but there we go. But we won't read it. I'll read this other story. I like to sing, and so singing right away takes away your voice. But there was a mother and father who lived in Chicago, and. The father calls his son, who lives in New York, and says, "Son, we're divorcing." He says, "I've had enough of your mother." He says, "This is it. It's all over." And so he says, "I really can't talk anymore. I want you to call your daughter in Dallas and tell her that we are divorcing." And so with that, the son calls the daughter in Dallas and says, "Our mom and dad are divorcing. What do we do here?" And so she said, "Don't do anything. I'm going to call them right now." So she calls and says, "Don't you do anything until I come up." He says, "Don't you dare do anything until I come up." So she calls her son back up, her brother back up, and says, "You know, we need to get up and we need to stop this." And so they come up. By the way, this was the day before Thanksgiving. So they arrive on Thanksgiving Day. But as the phone call ends, the father puts the phone down and turns to his wife and says, "Well, they're coming for Thanksgiving and they're paying their own way." Just one more here. This one is for Andy, and you can see it as we put it up on the board. "Last Thanksgiving, I shot my own turkey. It was fun. That shotgun going boom. Everyone at the supermarket just stared. Why track them when you know where they are?" So I sent this to Andy. By the way, you know what he sent me back? He sent me a picture of turkeys back in his yard. It was interesting. Wild turkeys. All right, that's enough. Hallelujah. That's enough of fun. Let's get into the Word now this morning. So this is Thanksgiving time. And as always, you know, as we think of Thanksgiving, matter of fact, look at the scripture here. It says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." Now, I know many of you have studied the tabernacle. You know about the tabernacle in the wilderness. And that's where this verse comes from. In other words, the Israelites would enter the gates of the tabernacle with thanksgiving. Or if you want, the temple, for that matter, once it was built in Jerusalem. Now, even those that were not Jewish, who really were, I guess you would say, they became part of Judaism, but they came in and they really weren't born Jewish. They came into the gates with thanksgiving. But notice it says they went into his courts with praise. So there's a difference between thanksgiving and praise. As a matter of fact, The priests didn't stop there. They went into the holy place and then into the Holy of Holies. And by the way, just so you know, we are called priests at this time. That's why we have the opportunity like no other, that we don't have to stop at the gates. We don't have to stop at the courts. We don't have to stop at the holy place. But we're invited to go into the Holy of Holies. And that's really what worship is all about, getting into the Holy of Holies so that you can set your mind and heart. But there is a difference. You see, thanksgiving is the expression for what God has done in your life. If God has done anything, then we give him thanks. When we start to give him praise and worship, that's when we think of who God is. Who is he to you? Who is he to the universe? Is God God? So when we get into the holy place, the Holy of Holies, our songs, if you will, our whole method of worshiping God should become different, because we start to sing about who he is, his attributes, what he means to you, God's love, his holiness, his omniscience, his omnipresence, and so on. And so there is a difference, but yet the two of them go together. And so, but you know what happens? After a while, we start to take God for granted. And I think that's what happens to many of us. We become a little indifferent to the issue of praise and worship. As a matter of fact, sometimes we get numb as to who he is in our life. We don't see him for the way we should. Sometimes we even get cold. And I'm sure many of us have gone there, or we become dry in our presence. So I thought we would take a test this morning. We'd go through, this is a 12-point message. Normally we have three-point messages. They last about 40 minutes. So you're not going to be able to get out and get your coffee and rolls for another 3 hours. So hang in there as we start. I'm only kidding. First one is thanksgiving. What does it reveal? It reveals the degree to which circumstances control your life. In other words, do you have a thankful heart? Are you thankful for God? Well, let's read about Paul. And as day was about to dawn, Paul urged them all to take some food, saying, "Today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food, having taken nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength. For not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you." And when he had said these things, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then they all were encouraged and ate some food themselves. Now, Paul here is being taken to Rome as a prisoner. And he's going to stand before the Roman council there, of course, and eventually he will have his head taken off for what he stands for. But in this storm, they couldn't see ahead. This was a terrible storm. They just couldn't see ahead of them. For those of you who maybe have been on the Mediterranean, you know that when a storm kicks up there, it can be very, very bad, really bad. And so they hadn't eaten for 14 days now. That's how desperate in fear they were. And most of the times, by the way, back then, they didn't go into the middle of the Mediterranean. They rowed along the coast. And so, again, along the coast, you have many rocks. There are many spots where this boat, and it will get shipwrecked eventually, is going to get shipwrecked. Yet Paul, during this time, trusted God. Matter of fact, he was the most stable of all of them. You know, we cannot change most of the circumstances we get into. Life comes at us. Do you ever notice that? It just comes. Life comes. But we can control our response to the circumstances once we're in them. And so we need to see them, if you will, as God allowed, or if you will, God, and respond to them properly. So if you're in a circumstance in your life right now that you don't like, and by the way, that's usually those are the ones you remember. It's not the circumstances that work out okay. It's the ones that you don't like in your life. And of course, there are times, too, you might start to blame somebody for it. Of course, you won't blame yourself. You'll blame somebody else. Or you'll blame God for the circumstance you're in. But listen to what the Word says again about this issue of circumstances. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Not in some things. It says in how many? In everything, give thanks. You know, these are very hard scriptures. "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so how many times do we give thanks? For how many things? For all things. So we give thanks in everything and for all things. Now, I know some of you out there might say, well, this is hard to give thanks for. But you need to change your perspective and realize again that life comes at you. Circumstances are coming. What would your response be? Your response needs to be giving thanks to God, because once you start giving thanks to God, you take your mind off the storm you're in. And you start to see it from a different perspective. As a matter of fact, you know, there are many other scriptures we can go to here of what God wants to do, but we need to get on to the other 11 here. So, thanksgiving also reveals the degree to which we are self-centered or selfish, if you will. You know, whenever we think of this issue of thanksgiving, most of the times we are thinking about things for ourselves. As a matter of fact, this is what Romans says. For although they knew God, now listen to what he's saying, Paul. He says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. So these are people that knew God. Now you might say, well, did they know him or did they know about him? Well, we don't know here. It appears that they knew God. You know, for all of us who were unsaved at one time, you knew about God, you didn't know God. It wasn't until you got saved that you started to know him, and he started to become personal in your life. As a matter of fact, you started to have a relationship with him. Most of the times, you talk to him. It's only the times you get quiet that God wants to start to talk back to you. And so here we see that these people knew God. They knew him, and yet they did not honor him or give thanks to him. Why? Because they were selfish. Selfishness interprets everything in terms of how it affects you. How does these things affect you? You know, whereas praise and thanksgiving reveals the sense that you're taking the focus off yourself and you're putting them on something else, whether it be a person you're giving thanks to or whether it be God himself for the things that you're in. As a matter of fact, John Piper, do I have it here? No, okay. John Piper said this. He said, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Let me repeat that. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. But now I'll tell you what Pastor Ed says. God is most thanked in us when we are most content in him. In other words, you're not going to thank God until you realize that you're content in the situations you're in. You have to find contentment in the good, the bad, and the ugly, whatever it might be. You need to find contentment. And when you do, then you'll be giving thanks to God. And so we need to look at our situation and say, listen, am I being thankful or am I not being thankful because I'm too selfish? Take your eyes off yourself once in a while and put them somewhere else, like maybe God, maybe on another person. Thanksgiving also reveals the degree to which joy dominates our life. Now, I'm not talking about happiness here. A deep joy is the reward of a thankful spirit, and let's read about it here in Psalm. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto his name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery and upon the harp with a solemn sound, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work, and I will triumph in the works of thy hands. And so an unthankful person is really never joyous. Yes, he might have some happiness for a short time, because happiness depends on a happening, on a circumstance, something that's going on in your life. Joy is something that God gives you deep down in your soul. And so when you have a thankful spirit, it's coming from joy that's deep down in your heart. As a matter of fact, this is what it says. In the presence is what kind of joy? Fullness of joy. Not partial joy, not joy on something that happens, but the fullness of joy comes when we're in the presence of God. At thy right hand there are treasures evermore, pleasures evermore. And so, again, it's when we get into his presence that we can understand and receive the fullness of his joy. And so the reason sometimes we don't have joy in our life is because we don't get into his presence. Now, I know who I'm talking to here. We're all in the same boat. Time just wants to get control of our life. So often we don't have time. We don't make time for God because our life is too busy, just too busy these days. Everything that's going on. You know, your life is in anguish right now over what's going on in our country. I'm sure many of you. You're grieving over so many things that are happening. And so where is the joy in all of this? The joy only comes when you're in His presence. You will receive fullness of joy. And by the way, the joy should stay with you. Even when you see dark times, joy should still control your life. As a matter of fact, we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Strength. You want strength? You want spiritual strength? Then you need to develop the joy of the Lord. You need to get in His presence so you can have the fullness of His joy. Also here in 1 Thessalonians says, "For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before God." Notice here, this joy that he has now is because he's giving thanks for others. I wonder how many times you do that in your prayer life, when you get into your prayer life. Now I know we all go in there with our script. We all have our agenda that we go to see God. And as we go to pray, we go right down our agenda. And very often that ends the prayer life and we're finished. Sometimes you should go in without anything. Don't go in there with an agenda. Just go in there to be in the presence of God. And as you're there and God starts to bring people's minds to your head and mind, rejoice over them as you're praying for them. Now, some are going through battles, physical battles here. But we need to rejoice for their life. As a matter of fact, it could be that you rejoicing over their life, maybe God might start rejoicing over them in such a way that they'll receive it in their own life. Thanksgiving also reveals the degree to which we are submitted to His will. Are we submitted to the will of God in our lives? As a matter of fact, very often the question comes, do we know the will of God? Do I know the will of God for my life? Well, Romans 8:28, we all know this. And we know that all things work together for what? For good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. And so I guess the thing that you need to understand in this particular verse is, first of all, you need to what? Know. You need to know the love of God. You need to know that God loves you. And you need to know that you've been called according to His purpose. Not your purpose, His purpose for your life. When you know these things, then you will know that all things are working together for good. And so often, though, we think we know better than God. Thanks and praise, no matter what, reveals a spirit that accepts what God brings into our life or allows in our life. Because we're submitted to His will. No matter what comes in your life, whether God sends it or whether He allows it to come into your life, it's in your life. It's part of God's will for your life. Now, what will you do with it? Will all things work together for what? For good. As we said, the good, the bad, the ugly, they all work together for your good. You might not see it right now. It might take time for God to work it out. But He says that these things are going to work out for your good. So the question is, do you believe it? Do you believe that in the circumstance you're in right now, as bad as it might be, that God is still going to work it out for good? And once you believe it and receive it, you can walk in it. But if you're not, you're not going to be able to walk in it. As a matter of fact, you're still going to have distress in your life. You'll be disappointed. Then you'll be discouraged. And then you'll get into despair, as we talked about last week. But you need to receive the fact that God is working it out for good. He's made this promise to you. And by the way, what God promises, He doesn't renege on. He's not like humans. Thanksgiving also reveals the degree to which we understand what life is all about. Do we really understand what life is all about? I wonder. You know, life is merely a prelude to eternity. Have you figured that out yet? I know many of you here probably have had some loved one go home. And maybe you're still grieving. And maybe you don't even know what to do or what to say or how to move on. Or you just sort of just put it aside because you become too numb over this. But yet at the end of the day, we need to realize this is just a prelude to eternity. The question is, where are we going in eternity? Are we going to heaven? Or are we going to the other place? Things that count most in this life are those that contribute most to eternity. And so, what are you counting in this life? Things that are going to go on for eternity, or the things that are not? So often, many things we count most important are the things that don't count for eternity. And so that's why we need to change again our thinking, our perspective. Thanks and praise show our understanding by paying Him what we owe. Do you owe God anything? Can I ask you, do you owe God anything? Let me ask another question. Do you owe anything to the company that holds the mortgage on your car or house? Do you owe anything to the insurance company? I'm sure Jim is very happy I'm saying this right now. Do you owe anybody anything? Well, if you do, that's what happens here in life. Well, do you owe anything to God? Well, let's see what he says. Oh, I don't have it, so let me read it here. For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You were bought with a, what was the price? The blood of Jesus. And he says, so you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. That's now the price we pay. We glorify God in our body. Now, I know, you know, we say, well, I thought this is about grace. I thought, you know, we got this grace. No, yeah, you do have grace. But you are bought with a price. You know, one of the things I like about John MacArthur on occasion when he talks about his sermon about slave, you know, very often when you study the scriptures, some of the words, of course, are toned down in translations. Like, for instance, the word slave is toned down to be servant. See, so we're a servant of God. Because today, the word slave isn't a good word to speak about. But in reality, we are a slave to God. What kind of a slave? A bond servant or a bond slave to God. And why? Because we owe him. Just as has been said, as you have said, we owe him everything. Everything we have is his. By the way, you know, when Bob Dylan supposedly got saved, I don't know if anybody remembers Bob Dylan from the 60s, folk singer, he had a song that he wrote. And the song was that you're going to serve a master, some master. And so who are you going to serve? Who will you serve? Will you serve God or will you serve the enemy of our soul? You have a choice. There is a third party, of course, and that is who? Yourself. You can serve yourself. Okay, Thanksgiving also, we just said that one. Thanksgiving also reveals the degree to which you are willing to give. Are you willing to give? Listen to these scriptures here as we start. For it is all of your sake, so that grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. It is more blessed to give than receive, and Jesus said that. Okay, so let's stop there. I have one more here. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so you have been blessed in your life. Do you know what? You've been blessed to bless. You have been given so you can give. As a matter of fact, you know, I know, by the way, we're not talking about tithing here. Don't worry. We're not asking you to put more money in the basket. But you've been given these things freely. And God says, what you've received freely, to give freely. As a matter of fact, you know, he says, if you will give, you will get pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. If you give. Now, by the way, that shouldn't be a motive to give. You should do it from a motive of love. But if you give, God promises to give back. As a matter of fact, he promises to give back more than you've ever given. So let's just ask a question here to you. For those of you who have been giving to God, do you believe in your heart that as you've given to God, God has given back to you much more than you've ever given to him? You want to raise your hand? Is that the kind of a God we serve or what? So how can we not want to give? And by the way, when you're giving, we give with thanksgiving because of what God has given to us. God has given us so much that how could we not give it away, whatever it is? You know, I'm finding, and I said this on Tuesday morning. By the way, there is Tuesday morning Bible study for those of you who come to Tuesday morning. Wednesday, there's no Wednesday night service. But Tuesday morning, I was talking about the fact that you can't outgive God. You just can't outgive God. And as we get older, because Tuesday morning we have mostly older people there, the joyful hearts, most of them. But we find, though, that as you get older, your needs are much less. They're just much less. I mean, what do I need? Do I need to be in touch with the latest fashion? Do I need a brand new Corvette? I don't think so, or whatever. What is it that I need? You know, I need a pair of dungarees, maybe, to wear every day. I need some food on the table. I need a place to stay. As a matter of fact, I think as as we get older, the place we need to stay starts to get reduced in size. We don't need the big place we needed when we were raising our children, although they do come back. And when they come back with more. Right? So you still might need a place, but certainly you don't need the place that you've had all your life. And so again, you know, this issue of giving, you just give it away now. Start giving it away. Be blessed. You've been blessed to bless others. And by the way, you know what will happen? God's still going to give you more. I'm telling you, it's amazing. God is amazing when it comes to this issue. And so we do that with thanksgiving. Why? Because we don't, thank you, God. I don't understand how this happens, but thank you, Lord. It reveals the degree to which we are willing to clean up our conversation. You know, I will venture to guess that most of us here probably didn't use such lovely words when we were unsaved. Matter of fact, I would venture to guess that the word Jesus probably was used in maybe not such a good fashion. But once you got saved, you realized that the name of Jesus was important. As a matter of fact, after a while, after God cleaned up your conversation, you realized that when you heard it used in the wrong way, it sort of bothered your soul. You looked at people saying those things. And this is what it says in the scriptures. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. And I think that's what's happened to most of us now. We don't use those words that we used before. We don't have that same attitude about people we had before. Instead now we have an attitude of thanksgiving for what God has done for us, to us, and through us. And we continue to say to God, God, you know, use me in some way that someone could be blessed. More importantly, that someone could be saved. Because they're dying out there, literally dying on the Jericho Road. And God is looking for somebody to speak words of thanksgiving to them so that they'll understand there's a God in heaven that loves them. Thanksgiving also reveals the degree to which you're willing to become less anxious. And, you know, I would wonder how many are very anxious right now. How is Pennsylvania going to turn out? How is Georgia going to finish, and Wisconsin and Arizona? How is all this going to work out? You know, the only thing I can say when I watch all of this go on, first of all, if you don't think there's corruption in America, I don't know where you live in. I have no idea. We are living in the greatest experiment that man has ever made. It's called the Republic of America. Notice I didn't say the democracy, the Republic of America. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. Not the democracy for which it stands, the Republic. But yet in these 240 years that we've existed now, more and more corruption has entered into our federal government. Matter of fact, not only the federal government, but even the local governments and state governments, more and more corruption and corruption and corruption. And again, now, listen, I don't know where you stand, and I'm not here to preach to you about politics. The only thing I know is that the man that was president, hopefully he might still be president, who knows, he was the only one that seemed to enter his position and to say, we need to get rid of the swamp, the corruption that has existed for so many years. And of course, the corruption is fighting back, and fighting back in such a way that we see more of it and more of it. And so we stand back now and say, well, what do we do here in America? Well, the only thing we can do as Christians is pray. I know you voted. Your time for voting is finished now. The only thing we can do now is pray. And with that, I need to tell you, you need to pray. You need to be concerned about what's going on. And you young guys out there, you need to realize that if this country changes from a republic to a socialistic, communistic country, you're going to have a problem. I'm going to be out of here, so it's okay with me. But I need to tell you, you're going to have a problem. And if that's what you want, and if you don't understand the difference, just come into my office. I'll be glad to go through some history with you and try to describe. Matter of fact, I could put it this way. This is a very simple way of understanding it. It's this way. You see, this young girl, she was in high school, and she had worked hard. And she was getting A's in her classes. I mean, she was working hard to get her A's. And then in one of her classes, the teacher said, okay, you know, this is what we're going to do now. We're going to make sure that everybody's equal in this class. Everybody's going to be equal. So therefore, everybody's going to get the same mark. We're going to take from those who have A's and give them to those that have D's, so everybody gets the same. We're all going to be equal. So she went home to talk to her father and said, Dad, I've been working hard, so hard to keep my A average. And now this teacher wants to take away my A, reduce my grade so that we're all the same. And so he looked at his daughter and he says, welcome to socialism. He says, that's what happens. We'll redistribute the grade, or we'll redistribute your wealth so that everybody, by the way, idealistically, for everybody to be the same is a wonderful thing that won't happen until you get to heaven. Won't happen until you get to heaven. Here on earth, God has given this country what I call a pioneer spirit. A spirit that says we work hard, we're responsible for the things we do. And so we can accumulate wealth and pass the wealth down to our children and their children's children. Instead of somebody saying, hey, you have too much money. We need to give it to those people who don't want to work so we can provide for them. Well, that's for another day. Let's get on to where we are here. Forgive me, Lord. Thanksgiving reveals the degree to which we are willing to become less anxious. And so the scriptures say this, do not be anxious about anything. You might just say I was very anxious. I'm not. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So, when you find yourself being anxious, remember the three-chord message here. And what is it? I don't have it. Be anxious for nothing, be prayerful for everything, and be thankful for anything. Let me repeat that again. Be anxious for nothing. So if you find yourself getting anxious over something, we just heard a scripture that says that you should not be anxious, did we not? So if you're anxious, that's not God moving in your life. That's either the enemy who wants to bring an anxious spirit into your life, or it's yourself looking at the condition you're in and not believing that God can do something in it. Be anxious for nothing. Nada, nix, nothing. But be prayerful for everything. In other words, you should be praying about everything, especially the small. You know, I don't really have to pray because that's going to happen. No, pray about it and be thankful for anything. Anything that comes your way, be thankful for. You know what the result is? What is the result of that scripture? Peace. Good. Hallelujah. It results in peace, the peace that passes all understanding. And by the way, that peace will guard your heart and your mind. That's what the scriptures say. That's the result. You'll have peace. And it will guard your heart and your mind. But you need to follow what the Scriptures say. Also, thanksgiving reveals the degree to which you're willing to change your perspective. And let's see what the Scriptures tell us. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Everything that God created is good. And you should receive it with thanksgiving. That means you can eat pork. Bacon's okay. Bacon is good. It's okay. God created it. It's good. But some things have to be taken in moderation, right? There is the issue of gluttony. We can overeat. So be careful. There are areas which we should take things in moderation. As a matter of fact, there's also the principle of stumbling a weaker brother. In other words, if you're with a brother who is relatively new in Christendom, and you're receiving something that God created, and you're saying it's good, and I'm going to do it, but you know, though, that it might stumble a weaker brother, then don't do it. You can do it in your own house, your own family. Just don't do it when you're out with a weaker brother. And by the way, so therefore you have to make a judgment, don't you? I thought God said, don't judge, lest you be judged. See, there are things we do judge. Thanksgiving also reveals the degree to which we are willing to appreciate others. I have a lot of scriptures here. Let's just see how many we got. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus. But thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you, who risked their necks by life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Don't have any more. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. And then we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as it is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of everyone of you, for one another is increasing. I think that's all we have here. So what is God saying to us? Well, we need to be thankful and appreciate one another. Now, I know this was passed as Appreciation Month, and you gave me your appreciation, and I certainly appreciate that. But I need to tell you, I appreciate you more. I appreciate you more. I have, you know, again, one of the things about gospel here is that we've always said at gospel, this is a family church. I don't know if you see that. Now, some of you might be new. It's a family church. You come in here, we want to greet you as part of the family. Now, we all know that we're all part of the body of Christ. But remember, that body of Christ is uniquely set apart by many different churches, certainly here on Long Island, many different churches. Well, we appreciate you for the fact that you're here, and you're growing, and you're learning. And hopefully, you're being used by God in whatever sphere you're in. And so, there's an appreciation, a thankfulness on our hearts for who you are. I could go on with this, but let's go on. I only have two more points here. God reveals the degree to which we are willing to see and understand our victory in Christ. We sang about this morning. Do you believe that you are victorious in Christ? I didn't say victorious in yourself. Victorious in Christ. Victorious in Christ, right? So let's just see some verses. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Christ Jesus. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Do I have more? No. Okay. So again, do we have this, if you will, thankfulness for the victory that God has given? Do you walk in victory in Christ? Or do you find that when you in here, I can understand that, when you go out in the world and you start to get beat up and people start to say things that you don't like to hear, maybe about you even, or the way you act, or why are you so different, or why aren't you coming out with us, we're going to drink or whatever, we're going to the bar, whatever it is, are you walking in victory? Do you realize that God has given you the victory in Christ Jesus? And the final one is this one. God, thanksgiving also reveals the degree to which you are willing to understand and acknowledge grace. Grace, 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 grace. You know, the world says, you know, you guys need a crutch, you Jesus believers. You need a crutch in your life. I don't need a crutch. You need a crutch. You know, sometimes you need to look at that person and say, you know, I don't need a crutch either. I got to tell you, I don't need a crutch. What I need is the living God. That's what I need. Because I am desperate. I am so needy. You can't believe how needy I am. And I am desperate for the living God. And so do we really understand and acknowledge the grace that he's given us to know more and more of his wonderful grace? While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Now, isn't that interesting that people are going to long for you and pray for you because they see the gift of grace upon you? Grace that has set you free, free to be servants of God, free so that you're not bound any longer by sin or shame or guilt. You've been set free. And so this is the day of thanksgiving. Now, we've gone through 12 points here. Sometimes, you know, we ask that you might just look at them and say to yourself, hey, how am I doing in the area of thanksgiving? I'm about ready to have a Thanksgiving feast where only 10 people are allowed. They have to sit 6 feet apart, wear a mask, and only eat as they lift the mask up and down. I don't know about you, but that's not going to be the house I'm going to. And so, this is a strange, we are living in strange times. I mean, but if you're honest with yourself, when you look at this, if you look at it very carefully, you must at least hear the approaching sound of hoofbeats. Do you hear them? You must hear the approaching sound of hoofbeats. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? There are four horses that are coming. Matter of fact, I had an interesting message I listened to the other day that one of them is already upon us. That first one that many of us thought is the Antichrist because it's a man sitting on a white horse and he's wearing a crown and carrying a sword. Interesting that this one guy looked at that and said, you know, when Jesus talked in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, about the four things that are going to come upon man, plagues, wars, famines, and death. Those are the four. Plagues, war, famine, and death. He didn't mention the Antichrist. Could it be that that first horseman is plague and the crown that he's wearing is a corona? I'm just throwing it out there. Just throwing it out. You know, and after that's all, that's what corona means. So, but it's just interesting that here we are living in a day when everything's getting shaken. And I know, though, when you go to your Thanksgiving table, you're going to be thankful. So thankful that with all of this stuff going on, you're among people that you love, they love you, you're going to enjoy a meal. And can I say this honestly? When you do that, will you give glory to God and say, Father in heaven, Jesus, thank you so much, not only for this meal, you know, because there was great preparation in making the meal. It's only going to take you an hour to finish it. That's all. Father, we thank you. You know, as we just think of even now, we're going to enter into a Christmas season. May we make preparation in our lives and our hearts for the coming of the birth of the Savior who has been birthed in our life. We thank you so much. Again, bless your people this day. They are so appreciated by you in heaven that you continue to even give thanks for them as they give thanks for you. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There's rolls and coffee. Hallelujah.